This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. For the battle is not yours, but God's.
This is Straight Talk.
Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Hollick. I'm your host today with Pastor Mark Jobe, Senior Pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Friends, as you're listening today, do you have this sense that there's more, that God really wants to do more in your heart? Have you gotten to the point where you feel like, I've served God, I've tried, I've worked hard, I've done a lot of good things for God, but my heart just is not on fire for God? Well, today's message is all about that. Pastor Mark, you've got us in Revelation chapter 2 looking at the church in Ephesus who has worked so hard and yet lost that first love.
That's right. And Joshua, you know what strikes me about the road back to our first love is that oftentimes people feel like, well, I have to rekindle a feeling, and once the feeling is there, then I can do the action. I see this in marriages all the time where people say, I just need to regain that feeling, and then I'll start bringing flowers and go on these great, awesome dates. But really, God tells us the opposite. In this passage, God says, start doing what you did when you had passion, and let the passion catch up to you. What a great word for us today is that he's telling us, do what you did when you had passion. Start to do it again, and let that feeling and that passion and that zeal start to catch up to your actions.
What a great encouragement. And that's going to affect every relationship in our life. That's going to affect our marriages. That's going to affect our children. That's going to affect our jobs. But it starts there with our seeking after God.
Absolutely. So my challenge to those of you that are here today saying, I've lost that first love, I want you to listen, not just with your ears, but I want you to listen to with your spirit to what God may be specifically, uniquely saying to you today.
This is Jumpstarting Your Spiritual Heart, Revelation chapter 2. It's the second half, and if you've missed the first half or any of the messages in the deeper series, download our app for free at PastorMarkJobe.com, and you can get all of these messages. You can easily share with a friend, and there's a Bible reading plan and a lot of resources to help you grow in your faith. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com, and download the Straight Talk app. Well, let's get right into Revelation chapter 2.
Your fast may be different than someone else's fast, and for you to fast 2 or 3 days may be as hard as it is for someone else to fast 2 weeks, depending on where you're at. So you don't have to compare your fast with anybody else's fast. If your fast is one meal a day and that's really challenging you for you, then do one meal a day. The other thing I want to say about fasting is make sure it's not legalistic. Make sure that if you slip and you're at work and there's cookies out there and you grab and you bite a cookie, and swallow it, make sure that you're not beating yourself up over it. This is not the time to quit and say, I blew it, I'm not going to fast anymore. This is a time to say, okay, I'm under grace, I'm seeking God, I'm going to get up, and whether I blew it or not, I'm going to continue to seek God, I'm going to continue to fast, I'm going to continue to engage in this journey of seeking God together, expecting that God is going to bring a breakthrough. Amen? So Jehoshaphat calls a corporate fast. He prays to God. You say, well, can we engage our children in fasting as well? Here's what I would encourage with small children. I would encourage variations of fasting. And one of those variations may be for them a media fast. That means that taking a day or two or a week and just turning the television off and turning the computers off. You're going to see a withdrawal in their system. Major withdrawal in their system. But what you're doing is you're allowing them to also engage in the process, and they're going to say, why can't we watch this television program? We're turning it off for a little peace and quiet, and so that we can engage in some prayer and some seeking of God, some quiet. Encourage them to read a chapter of the Bible. Encourage them to do something besides the media, so you engage the entire family in it. The men, women, and children were engaged in this process of fasting and prayer. The Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Haziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mathaniah, a Levite descendant of Asaph, as he stood in the assembly. Now I want you to notice, when did the Spirit of God come upon him? When? Before or after the fast? He came upon him after the fast. They called a fast. They were already engaged in fasting. And as they were fasting and as they had sought God, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon them. You see, I want you to hear this because oftentimes it's after our fast or during our fast that the breakthrough that we have been calling for and asking for and praying for finally comes. The Spirit of God didn't come upon them before the fast. He came during and after the fast. The Spirit of God came upon the prophet, and the prophet rose up and he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your position, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. Some of you need to hear that word today. Because some of you, as we sit right here this morning, some of you are facing challenge in your life that you are discouraged and you are afraid over. You're anxious over it. Maybe your job, it may be your marriage, it may be your finances, it may be a health issue in your life, it may be a situation that you have no control over, but you are facing it. And what God said to these people is, the battle is not yours, it's God's. Stand firm. Persevere. Do not get discouraged. Now you have to do your part in it. You have to stand firm. You have to persevere. You have to seek God. They had fasted. They had prayed. God's hand was already upon them. But it was God's battle ultimately. There are certain things in life, hear me well, there are certain things in life that you can worry about, but ultimately they're God's battle. And what God is saying is, in the midst of this testing, stand firm. Don't get knocked off. Hold your ground. Do what you know God has called you to do without giving up. Do not give up. Do not get discouraged. Do not be afraid. God is with you. God will fight the battle for you. Then Jehoshaphat, I love what Jehoshaphat did. Then Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground. And all the people of Jerusalem fell down and worshiped before the Lord. You see, the proper response to the deliverance of God is bowing before him. There are certain times in life when you see the hand of God where you just need to fall on your face and say, thank you, Jesus. There has been times in my life where I've seen such direct, powerful answer to prayer where I've just fallen on my knees and said, thank you, Lord. This is you. This is you. Has that ever happened to you? If you're not careful, if you haven't fasted, if you haven't prayed, if you haven't gone to God, if you don't know it's God's battle, then it's easy to think it's someone else or thank someone else or think it's a coincidence or think about the timing. But when you've asked God's hand to be in it, it's God that's involved in it. It's God that's pulling the strings. It's God that's opening the doors. And it's God that deserves the glory and the honor and the praise and the adoration and our humility before him. And when he got this word, Jehoshaphat fell to his face on the ground, and all the people of Jerusalem fell. They fell on the ground and they worshiped God. Thank you, Lord, that you're good. You see, there's something about fasting and prayer that brings about a humility. Because when you're fasting, you feel how weak you are. You feel how vulnerable you are. You feel how your strength is not there and you have to depend on the power and the might of God. And they fell to their knees and began to worship God. And then they decided that they would orchestrate this. It says that some of the Levites and the Kohathites and the Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud voice. So they fell down and they worshiped God. Then they stood up and they praised God with a loud voice. This is an encouragement for some of those of you that have a loud voice. You're the ones that when we're worshiping God's people kind of look at you, oh, this guy's loud. You're blessed if you're loud and you're in tune. Some of you are loud and you're out of tune, and that's all right. Because, you know, by the time, if you're singing with all your heart, by the time it reaches heaven's ears, man, it's converted into a beautiful sound before the Lord. So don't stop making a joyful noise. Some of you are singers, others are just noise makers for God. And that's okay too. You're God's tambourine. And we thank God for the loud noise you make in worshiping God. And so they rose up and with a very loud voice, they praised God. It says early in the morning, verse 20, they left for the desert of Tekoa and they set out. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. We have faith in the Lord God and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." Now, do you realize what just happened there?
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to a Straight Talk message entitled Jumpstarting Your Spiritual Heart, which is from our series called Deeper, Going Beyond Shallow Spirituality. Stay tuned and we'll tell you how you can get a free copy of this message as well as give you information regarding Pastor Mark's ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of Revelations, and Pastor Mark's message is entitled Jumpstarting Your Spiritual Heart.
They're organizing the army for a massive attack on an enemy. And instead of sending the horsemen ahead, instead of sending the archers ahead, they sent their most potent, powerful part of the army at the front. You know who it was? The choir. Look at it. Says it right there. They put the choir at the front of the army, the singing, praising men of God. They put them at the front. And they said, this was their song. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. Now, I don't know how it goes. I don't know how the melody goes, but that's what the men were singing. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his love endures forever. Imagine in front of the army, the spearsmen, the men with the swords, the men with the weapon, they're all behind the praise. Let me tell you why. Because there's something powerful in praise. There's something powerful in praise. When the people of God, when you get into a spirit of praise, and you unleash a spirit of praise, thanksgiving unto God, exaltation of his name, declaring his glory and his goodness and his power. What the psalmist says is that God inhabits the praises of his people. He sits enthroned upon the praises of his people. You see, praising God is the opposite of murmuring and complaining. When you praise God, you begin to exalt his goodness and bless his name and honor him and declare his sovereignty and his omniscience as his omnipotence. You begin to declare that God is good, and no matter what comes against you, you stand on the fact that God is good and that God is sovereign. You begin to lose yourself in the glory of God. You begin to exalt him, and there's a power that descends when the people of God praise him. It begins to change the atmosphere of a place. Let me tell you something. Where faith works best is in the atmosphere of praise. You see, when Jesus went to his hometown, he went back to Nazareth. The Bible says he could do no miracles among them because there was so little faith. When we begin to praise God, it builds your faith. Has that ever happened to you? In the middle of praising God, you start saying, yes, he can. Yes, God is good. And your spirit is lifted. And suddenly you start believing God for things that you could not believe him for when you were not praising. God enthrones himself upon the praises of his people. God sits upon the praises of his people, and the atmosphere changes, and the miraculous begins to happen, and doors begin to open, and people receive salvation and healing and change and conviction when they begin to worship God in spirit and in truth, because praising God is an open invitation. Come, Lord Jesus, and establish yourself upon us. Come, we invite your lordship, enthrone yourself upon our praise. There's something powerful that happens. Let me tell you something, ladies. Some of you have built in your, you've allowed an atmosphere of death. You've allowed an atmosphere of death and an atmosphere of defeat to reign in your homes, because what echoes in the hallways of your home is murmuring and complaining, and how come this and we don't have that, and this isn't happening, this is going on, and this. And you know what? You have an atmosphere in your home that's a death atmosphere instead of a life-giving atmosphere. Some of you need to find a good praise tape and put it on and crank it loud. And if you're a homemaker here and staying at home, instead of saying, oh, these kids always leave things over here, oh, these dishes are never done, oh, this guy, ah, oh, when's he going to learn this job, and oh, these kids never do, I don't want my slave here, I can't stand this, and if that's happened, you need to crank up that music, and you need to start praising and cleaning at the same time, but with the spirit of praise. You need to start dancing with the broom unto the Lord. You need to start doing those dishes with a spirit of joy upon you, thanking God that you have something to eat, praising God that he's given you a house, filling that house with praise and glory and adoration and thanksgiving unto the Lord. So that house is a place. It's a life-giving place. You know why? Because you're preparing the atmosphere in that house. You're preparing the atmosphere for miracles to happen. You're preparing, you're inviting the God. It sits enthroned upon the praises of his people. You're preparing the way. You're preparing the way. And the Bible says that he sent the praisers out ahead. And as the praisers began to sing, and they were bringing the presence and the glory of God. And man, if you knew the army was about, you were going to face spears and swords, you would be praising and singing with all your might. And imagine they were going forward, praise ye the Lord. Mercy endureth forever and ever. I hope we don't run into them soon. Praise ye the Lord. His mercy endureth forever and ever. Praise ye the Lord. And sometimes our praise is that way. Sometimes we bring a sacrifice of praise unto God. And here's what happened. The Bible says that as they began to sing, verse 22, as they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes. Here's what I want you to know, that they fasted and prayed and then they praised. They fasted and they prayed and then they praised. And as they praised the Lord, not before, but as they praised the Lord, Listen, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. How were they defeated? The men of Ammon and Moab rose against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. God caused friction among them. So these invading armies got together and said, hey, you're going to get more spoil than us. Hey, wait a second, what are you talking about? And they turned their attention to fight one another. And a major battle ensued because there was internal division. And by the time, listen, after they had finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So they fought against the opposition, and then they started fighting against each other. And by the time the choir arrived to the battleground with the army behind them, what they encountered was just a valley full of bodies because the battle had already been fought for them. Oh, hallelujah. It says, and when the men of Judah came to the place that overlooks the desert and looked towards the vast army, they saw only bodies lying on the ground. No one had escaped. See, you know what the army had to do? You know what the biggest problem of the army became? How do we take all the plunder back home? They've left plunder here for us. They've left money and swords and gold and food, and they've left tents and camels, and they've left treasures here. Their challenge went from how do we survive to how do we take back all the plunder that has been left for us from the battle that God has fought for us. Notice what it says. So Jehoshaphat and his men went to carry off their plunder, and they found among them a great amount of equipment and clothing and articles of value, more than they could take away. There was so much plunder that it took 3 days to collect it. And on the fourth day, they assembled in the Valley of Berech, where they praised the Lord. This is why it's called the Valley of Berech to this day. Let me tell you what happens. When God fights your battles, when God fights your battles and you go forward with praising and singing the very difficult circumstances that you may encounter, God, his name is Jehovah Jireh, the provider. When God fights your battles, when he goes before you, times of fasting and prayer and praising, listen, they always render the doors of heaven begin to open, and those things that you're calling upon, those things that you're praying, God begins to dribble them and drip them from heaven. You will begin to see that God is not in a recession, that God has no shortage, that God is sovereign over every problem, that God can change lives and God can change heart, and there's no one too difficult for God to reach, and there's no one beyond his mercy and no one beyond his power. There's no disease that's too great, and there's no problem that's too difficult for God to solve, because God is sovereign, because God is Lord. I'm talking about the power of fasting and prayer. Jesus did it. Peter did it. The early church did it. All the major prophets did it. And I believe it's time for us to do it as well. And so I'm challenging you today, in our fifth day already. We're already 5 days into it, so there's always catch-up time. If you say, well, Pastor, I just don't know. Let me tell you, the devil's always going to try to keep you from anything good, anything that means breakthroughs. Listen, if you're here and there's something in your life that you're trying to break, it may be a pornography issue, it may be some sort of addiction, it may be you need to draw close to God and you've wanted to draw close to God for a long time, but you're stuck. You're not moving forward. You're not drawing in. Some of you need to get serious enough that you say, God, I'm going to fast. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give up food for a while. I'm going to seek you with all my heart because I'm stuck. And I can guarantee that God's fasting and prayer done in the right spirit and in the right way before God, it never returns void. God will not despise a broken and contrite heart that calls out to him.
This was the second half of our message entitled Jumpstarting Your Spiritual Heart, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Deeper, Going Beyond Shallow Spirituality. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.